Back together again, you and I chatting it up. Final day of January, Wednesday, January 31st, 2024, on Connecticut Today. Had some breaking news. We featured statements from both incumbent Bridgeport Mayor Joe Ganim and his Democratic challenger John Gomes on a fourth electoral battle coming up in a few weeks. Hearst Connecticut Media editor and columnist Dan Haar stopped by for his weekly update. All right, the big news of the day that broke a little bit after we got on the air earlier today. There will be Joe Ganim versus John Gomes, round four, after three rounds, two primaries, and the first general election, which was round two. We now get to round four, the second general election after round three. Get it? Which was the second primary. John Gomes first, then we'll have the response by Joe Ganim. John Gomes says he is staying in.
We are deeply committed to this campaign as residents of Bridgeport. There is a resounding concern that change is necessary, that status quo has become unbearable, impacting all aspects of the residents' lives, from the economic standpoint, public safety, and education. Our education system is failing our students. It's becoming a pipeline towards incarceration. The lack of economic development has led to low wages and the overall poor quality of life for all of us here. We can't even get Congress Street Bridge or Pleasure Beach Bridge replaced after 25 years. In a figurative terms, I would say that the bridge of Bridgeport are broken. We represent the voice of those who feel trapped in this cycle. We have walked the streets, we have met with residents, and we are suffering the personal challenges that we are facing and the decisions made of those within City Hall. Personally, my work within the municipal government has allowed me to understand why the cycle persists. When you voice your concern, you are dismissed. And then there's disinformation about campaigns. Believing in the democratic system, we presented a real solution to the residents of Bridgeport. As you know, our campaign was derailed when evidence of systematic attempts to oppress voters and to cheat as the election and it was surfaced. A Superior Court judge agreed that the validity of the September 23 primary, its results could not be validated because we had overwhelming evidence that we presented in court. As well, on the January 2024, there was a narrow primary victory, which remains in question as we requested for all absentee ballots, its application, envelopes to be subpoenaed and rendered to our campaign for further review, and as well, the many supporters, our supporters, that were turned away at the polls. We know that there has been a call from the mayor, the current administration, some city council leadership, the governor, even columnists from the Hearst Media, to end this mayoral bid. For those that are calling for my withdrawal, I would like to remind them that there was a court order for a mayoral primary and general election in 2024. It's even when respected national and international media publication called into question the validity of this election results, and three Superior judges ordered new primaries in the city council election 2017 and the state representative election in 2022 and the mayoral election now in 2023. It's time for elected leaders to admit, that there is a systematic problem in the electoral process here in Bridgeport. These selected people who are calling for my withdrawal to return to business as usual, I will tell you, as we stand here united, that that will not happen.
That's right.
We continue. No amount of pressure, no amount of deals offered can prevent us, for completing our mission in seeking new leadership in Bridgeport.
That's right.
All right, now a little bit after that, within the hour, I think, Mayor Joe Ganim was at an event, and he obviously responded to this, calling into question the ballot line that John Gomes will want to run on again.
Gomes has some issues on his own. There's a legal question whether he can even be on the ballot. And he seems like he's sidestepping that and deferring to people outside of Bridgeport because he doesn't care, I guess, for what the reality is in Bridgeport. But that be it as it may, nothing has changed. I'm here as your mayor, humbly serving again, and will continue to do it with every vigor that I have on your behalf every day through Election Day and beyond, and with Godspeed for the next 4 years. But I don't and can't and ask you not to ignore the anger and desperation that I saw in that face again, whether it's through feeling of want or retribution for the personal mistakes that he wants to claim were not his. But it certainly isn't. It certainly isn't with a focus, with an eye, or a vision for what's better and needed for the people of the city of Bridgeport. So I'm a little bit saddened by Mr. Gomes. I'm saddened by him, his caricature, his lack of veracity, his fabrication of events and projections as to what is or what isn't. And I hope and believe, because people of Bridgeport are smart, resilient, and as they shown last Tuesday, dependable, because they care. And they know with lack of perfection, they know what they got. They know who I am, they know what we've done together, and they know what we need to continue to do and to do it together. So in that way, I ask them one more time, whether it's a sunny day, God willing, whether it's snowing or rain, we'll do our part to ensure every voter has the opportunity to vote and to send even a more powerful message to those that would like to tear down our progress, to take this city back to the bad old days and put the same people you saw, maybe on these videos tonight in the news, in places where they could do damage to everything that's near and dear to the heart of this great city and its people. I have a lot more to say, but I know you're only going to give me about 2 minutes on your news clips, so I'll answer a couple questions and we'll go from there. Mr. Recchia.
Yeah, very quickly, to what degree does the letter that was posted by the independent party chair provide a framework for potentially invalidating your opponent's candidacy?
So to be clear, if those of you haven't seen it, I was made privy to it today. I saw it released by a media outlet. Mr. Gomes, who claims to be the endorsed candidate of now the independent party, he's abandoned the Democratic Party. So let's be clear. I am the endorsed Democratic candidate for mayor and the Democratic mayor of the city of Bridgeport. Mr. Gomes has abandoned the Democratic Party. They rejected him clearly again. They rejected him again clearly on Tuesday by overwhelming numbers. So now he wants to take this party, the independent party, and the chairman of that party, and says that it's a sham, that Mr. Gomes doesn't have the nomination. He never should have had it. and wants to rule him, as you will, in parliamentary terms, out of order. And with that, it puts in legal question whether or not he should actually validly be on the ballot if a ballot goes forward on February 27th. So I'd ask those powers that be that understand this, whether it's election officials, party officials, to step up to the plate to save the people of the city of Bridgeport the farce of a nomination claimed by Mr. Gomes that has been put in serious question by the local chairman of that party. And I saw today in his thing, he seems like he's seated a campaign to become mayor of the city of Bridgeport to people from outside Bridgeport and want them to control his campaign. And I assume, God forbid he ever got elected, maybe to control this building and city government. What would that do for the people of the city of Bridgeport?
All right, there you go. Some rather pointed words earlier today from John Gomes, and then a response by Mayor Joe Gann. I'm calling into question now some new controversy as whether Mr. Gomes can have his ballot line. All right, back to open phones a little bit later on. And when we do that, for whatever's on your mind, I got some stories I want to get to before we wrap it up today. Of course, it'll be at 203-333-9422-333-WICC. Coming up, though, at 5:15 every midweek Wednesday at this time, we check in with Hearst, Connecticut media editor and columnist Dan Haar, who I guess is still enjoying life now as a registered Republican in this state. Dan, when was that, about a week ago you did that?
Seems like about a week ago, yes. As a matter of fact, it was. In fact, I don't think we had a chance to talk about it, or did we?
No, we didn't.
Because I made that change on Thursday morning.
Yeah.
I made the change on Wednesday.
Uh-huh.
On Wednesday. In fact, when we talked,
yes,
last Wednesday,
you teased
time,
it. You teased it. Yes.
I think I did. I had just that, like, within the hour.
Yes.
I had become a Republican because it was at about. It was at about 4:00 on Wednesday afternoon, and then the column ran Thursday. And I am, in fact, as you suggested, still a Republican.
Have you been ostracized, Dan Haar, by anyone in your circle, or do they understand the gallant task that you've undertaken?
No, the liberals favor this. The conservative Trump supporters think it is unethical sabotage. Anti-democratic, unethical, hypocritical sabotage. A lot of people in the middle are supportive.
Yeah.
I would say that of the responses I've gotten about 50-50.
Okay.
Very little from the sort of outright hard liberals.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly it's moderates who say, gee whiz, you know, you're right. I think I'm going to do this.
And really?
One, in fact, who I quoted in an update to the column, I quoted that person. That was a former longtime Connecticut person who was in advertising, who is now living in Florida. Whether retired or not, I don't know, but now living in Florida.
Okay.
But in any case, many people on the right are saying that, you know, no, they didn't like how I described the esteemed former president as a cancer on society. So, I'm enjoying my status.
Well, make sure you give us constant updates. Now, Dan Haar, before we get to a story that you sent me, and I said, well, this is interesting. Regarding elections, let's go to the big election elephant in the room today. I guess, Dan, Ollie Frazier, 1, 2, and 3. That's going to be supplanted by Ghanem Gomes, 1, 2, 3, 4 now.
Yeah, this is the thriller in the sewer. So I stayed up listening in my age 12 to the thriller in Manila.
Oh yeah,
on my transistor radio.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and I mean I may be confusing the one where Howard Cosell yelled Frazier is down.
Frazier's down, down, down goes Frazier.
Down
yeah,
goes Frazier.
Yeah.
I think I could be wrong about which fight it was, but I think I was around 12.
Yeah.
With my head under the pillow and a transistor radio. In any case, John Gomes 3 times has gone before the people of Bridgeport. 3 times he has run as not Joe Ghanem. He's going to fail the 4th time. He's got to learn. First of all, it's probably too late because 3 strikes and you're out.
Mm-hmm.
But he's got to learn that nobody in 25 years has beaten Joe Ghanem by being not Joe Ghanem.
Mm.
And so if he wants to do what Justin Ellicott did in New Haven and be John Gomes, and who am I and what will I do for you, that might work. If, I don't think it'll work, but that might work. So that's really part of what's going on. And part of what's going on is that there's still an implication that there's something afoot with absentee ballots, and history will have to be the judge of that.
All right. Now, you cued me in on a piece regarding the elections and turnout, which I guess has a little error in it, or what? What are we talking about there?
I mean, this is just an absolutely wild story. Secretary of the State, Stephanie Thomas.
Yeah.
You know, she's doing a great job of drumming up voter participation, doing everything she can as the state's chief election official to drum up voter participation. One of the many things she's doing is she gives out an award called the Democracy Cup.
Mm-hmm.
So the top town every year in every size category, small, medium, large, and city. I wonder whether Derby, which is a city, isn't Derby the one that's a city, or is it Antonio?
No, they market themselves as the smallest city in Connecticut. Yes,
that's right.
Yes.
So Derby as a city, I wonder whether they, which category they're in. But in any case, regardless, Stephanie Thomas was prepared to give the awards, not only the mid-sized category award, but the overall top voter participation award at 68.7% to the town of East Haven on Tuesday morning. Yesterday morning.
Yeah.
And she drove to the ceremony.
Okay.
She had a route all planned out. It was East Haven, Wallingford, Canaan, and Danbury. Mm-hmm. Congratulations to those three towns. East Haven, she shows up and they said, you know, Secretary Thomas, there's been a mistake. We gave you the wrong number.
Oops. How far off were they?
Oh, their actual turnout was 35%, which is still a little bit better than the state average. But instead of writing a number closer to 17,000 for number of eligible voters, the head election moderator had written on the official reporting form, which she signed, 8,997.
Okay.
Where that number came from, I don't know, but that was the number reported to the state. And throughout the process, at every step, nobody ever looked and said that number is wrong, except my colleague, Alex Putterman, who wrote a story on November 12th saying that number is wrong. And the Secretary of the State's office at the time said, we'll look into it. Never did. Drove to East Haven to give the award, and only to find out no awards.
I have numerous family members and friends in East Haven. I will have to do a little digging on this, Dan. If I find out anything else, I will certainly let you know.
Dan, I have a quick question for you.
Yes.
A serious question.
Yeah.
There are two ways to look at this, as I say in my column.
Okay.
One is simple clerical error that didn't affect the outcome of any race. All the vote totals are correct. And the other is you got wrong on the official vote tally. A certified election result by a lot, and that's a serious issue. Which camp are you in?
All right,
I'm the one being interviewed now.
Well, yeah, I have to allow me to send a few messages to people, and I'll get back to you on that. All right, Chris Murphy. I played a chunk of his appearance over the weekend on CNN. He was drilled by Dana Bash on this immigration thing. Is Chris Murphy, Dan, is he in the rising star category? Like 4 years from now, is Murphy going, or 8 years? He's still relatively young. Is he going to be in the chatter for anything kind of big or not?
He has been in the past. Minor speculation that he was going to run for president, but there was some speculation that he was being looked at for Secretary of State under Biden. That didn't happen. He has strong foreign policy chops. He is something of a lightning rod among the right because of some of his outreach to some countries.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's been ascendant. You know, listen, the old saying is correct. every single one of the 100 U.S. senators wakes up in the morning, looks in the mirror, and sees a future president. And especially senators who are in their, third term? He's about to win his third term.
Yeah.
And he's only, 48?
Yeah, around late 40s, early 50s.
I don't think he's hit 50 yet. So, he's got runway. The current president is 81. So, he'll certainly be high up on the scene. This is a big deal for him. He was selected to be the one and only Democrat to lead the negotiations in what is the most stuck issue in American politics right now, immigration. And he did a good job by all accounts. The compromise, by the way, the liberals, if you're reading the reports, the liberals are the ones that are as upset as the Trump side, right? Because there is no path to citizenship in this reform. But, you get what you can when you can get it. And there's a bill, and the former president is trying to stop it. The big issue was that on Sunday, as you saw, Senator Murphy accused Donald Trump and other people accused Donald Trump of playing politics and wanting to maintain chaos at the border rather than helping the situation.
And he certainly is interesting in kind of that three-legged stool there. You've got an interesting mix of, again, Chris Murphy, younger, more liberal, Jim Langford, a typical Midwestern Republican, and then somebody who I love only because of how many people she drives nuts, Dan, on a continual basis, Kyrsten Sinema, who has gone from a Green Party person to a Democrat and now to kind of something we're not sure, but it's an interesting troika there.
Well, she was picked because she's an independent.
Yeah.
And also, don't forget, she's from a border state.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't have a guy from Connecticut and a guy from, Indiana? I forget. No, he's Oklahoma.
Oklahoma.
You can't have an East Coaster, a Midwesterner, and nobody from a border state. So she fit the bill perfectly, and she does swing it slightly toward the more progressive side, as little as she is a progressive. The point here is that this is an agreement that the likes of Lindsey Graham and John Cornyn, among many other Republicans, approved of, and they were taking shots at President Trump over opposing this because they were saying, let's get something done. And Langford took a real shot. He's going to be kicked out of MAGA.
He's going to get his membership card torn.
I don't think he's spending Christmas in Florida what's the name of that?
Mar-a-Lago.
Mar-a-Lago.
Christmas in Mar-a-Lago won't be on the Hallmark Channel, and it won't be filmed in Connecticut. Dan Haar, the guest. Dan, take care. Good segment, and we'll talk to you next week. Thanks.
We'll be in touch. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Dan. You too. Yeah, Christmas at Mar-a-Lago. Life. Wouldn't that be funny if they did that? Oh, my God. Look, it's Christmas. Come on in. Look. Look, here's the table. It's a beautiful table. It's the best table around. Stockings, look, hung, chimney. Do you like this chimney? I gotta stop.